It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 621. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have a jam-packed show, and this is the last show before I go away. There will be two Thursdays in a row that I'm going to be missing because I'm going to be in Germany. I will get this posted up over the weekend. I leave next Wednesday, and I don't return to July 1st. The next show will be Thursday, July 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's my plan for the next few weeks. And then we should be back into a regular schedule, I think. The DC Unconvention 2017, September 16th and 17th, is brought to you by Instant House Call and Tech Site Builder. You can still buy tickets and get a $40 discount by using the promo code MTS. That'll save you $40. You want to go get your tickets now. There's only a limited amount of tickets. The schedule, we're finalizing everything. There's a lot more details flushed out. So please visit the website unconvention.io. The link will be in the show notes. I hope you can join us there. And it's sponsored by Malwarebytes. You can get the Malwarebytes Tech Bench tool set, which is an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. Link is in the show notes. Check that out. And that's the Malwarebytes Tech Bench. Great, great set of tools. I have two system crash stories with very different solutions tonight. I also want to talk about a utility I found for LAN messaging for a client. It's free. That's a BeeBeep. I have a couple Netflix comments I want to make on apps and downloading Netflix. And then the last link for the night, stop resetting my apps. Sent in by a listener. I've tested it out. It's great. That's the show for tonight. Let's begin. First, shame on Microsoft for the following that you have to do to get to the repair screen. They took away the F8 option. So Tuesday night, there's an update happening because all of a sudden my screen goes black. I can see the mouse, totally black. I let it sit because I don't know what's happening. I think, well, maybe there's a monitor issue or something. So I unplug the monitors and plug them back in. No. It's just sitting there. I'm like, all right, let's do a hard reset. Hold the power button in, turns on, and you get the blue Windows 10 box. And then all of a sudden, the spinning circle of death or in front of a black screen. I wait an hour and it just still spinning. I'm like, something's desperately wrong here. I power off again, power up, and that thing's just spinning. This happened right before I'm having a video conference call scheduled for a planning session for the Unconvention. And I got to go to Google Hangouts and have a microphone and a camera ready, and my system not working. So I go to my test system, which has no speakers, So I have a test $10 Logitech pair of speakers. I hook them up to my test system. I need a camera. So I hook up another camera. And in a matter of 2 minutes, I was ready and they heard me perfectly. I heard them and had a successful video conference call on Google Hangouts. I left that hooked up thinking, boy, that's how I might be recording my show. So it would be a different angle. I would be turned around and it would be the system behind me would have been my main system. And I had a camera set up off to the side. So that was my sort of emergency recording and backup. It would have sounded different, looked different, but the show would still go on tonight. Well, Wednesday, I text my son, Michael, my senior tech, Ken Rose, and said, Wednesday morning, when you come to the office here, the first thing we got to work on is my system because it just will not boot. And Ken texted me and said, this is a possible update because Tuesday there were Windows 10 updates. I was like, ha ha. Wednesday morning, I start looking online on my test system, and it seems like there was some bad updates for users that had the creator's update of Windows 10, which I have. So an update killed my system. So I got to get it back to a restore point, a system restore point prior to the updates, which thank God Microsoft always creates a restore point before they start installing updates. Well, how do you get there on Windows 10? I've been lucky, knock wood. I haven't had a lot of serious troubleshooting with serious issues with Windows 10. And I do remember reading this a long time ago, but I can't believe the way to get to a repair screen is you have to power cycle your system 3 times. And on the 4th boot, you're going to get the repair screen. That's crazy. Now, if you're trying to help a client through this over the phone, the best thing to do is tell them to pull the power plug the minute you start to see the Windows box, that blue box. You got to pull the power plug or hold the power button in. But a lot of people don't hold it in long enough. So it may go to sleep mode and it may not shut all the way down. That's why the recommendation is pull the plug. I get it, but this is so stupid that we have to do this. Why not build in some kind of a function that'll take you to the repair screen that we want to see? This is a terrible design by Microsoft. But I dutifully go through the 3 boots. The 4th boot, I get the screen, and you have to choose advanced repair options, then troubleshoot, then advanced options. Don't worry, I have a link for this. And then I first figured, let's try to repair the boot. Did that? No joy. So to get back to that screen again, I had a power cycle 3 more times. And then the 4th time, you get that screen. Now I got that screen and I navigated to System Restore and picked the restore point that was labeled Windows Update from the 13th, from Tuesday. It absolutely was doing an update when it killed my computer. I went back to that. You know, a few minutes later, it said it's successful. System will now restart. It restarted very quickly. I logged in and I was greeted with a screen that you are now at the system restore point. You know, none of your files were changed for your data files. And everything was perfect. So the first thing I did was went to the services and I stopped the Windows Update service and then I disabled it because right now I don't want this rogue update coming down again until it's all worked out, until I get an all clear online and see that they pulled whatever updates were bad and fixed them. And especially with me traveling and I may want to remote into my system, I do not want an update killing my system. I don't know if that's going to work. I haven't ever tried it before where I'm stopping the Windows Update service and I'm hoping that I'm not going to get any updates. I recommend that if you have the creator's update, but at least we know we can go back. And this is a process that you absolutely have to save. When you run into this, with a client. You don't have to rebuild the system. You don't have to reinstall Windows. You don't have to run a complicated repair. This is a way to get back to a system restore point if it was an update or a restore point that was created. That's why before, when you sit at a client and do anything, you should create a system restore point just in case something gets messed up. And now you have a process to get back to that. I'm happy I'm running and it was nice. I wasn't worried. I have backups of my system. I wanted to have a solid process that I can recommend. So let's talk about system crash number two. This one's a client and it's Windows 7 Pro. We don't know what went wrong, but we know the system had to be power cycled. And this system has a Shadow Protect system image every single night. So he power cycles the system, never to boot again. We're not sure what's wrong. This took several hours of diagnosing to figure out what's going wrong. We don't know if it's hardware or software yet. We're kind of leaning to software, but boy, it sure looked like it was the controller for the hard drive, because when we tested when we tested this, the SSD was clean and looked good. It's under warranty. Dell came out, replaced the motherboard, no joy. The recommendation to try to do the repair of Windows. So we got the system back in our office and I attempted to use the Dell utilities to try to repair the boot. It could not do it. As a matter of fact, it couldn't even see the operating system. But we know the drive tested well because it took it out, took it to another system, and everything was readable and it could access everything. I have a Shadow Protect image. So one of the first things on a Shadow Protect recovery, you have to have a boot image from a CD or USB. I went old school, made a CD, and this is a universal system restore where it can work with any operating system, including Linux, to be able to restore. I boot it with the backup attached via USB. And one of the first things I needed to know was when I was doing the restore, I wanted to do a verify, which took a long time to do a verify on the drive, on the actual backup image. And I was glad to see that it passed. So we know we had a very good backup. When it tried to do the restore of the main partition, it failed. And it failed on the master boot. And that's even after a restart, the same problem, the system would not boot. The first thing I needed to do was, since I knew I had a good backup and we knew it was good, I needed to add something else. The user needed some files off that. So we had to mount that backup a couple days prior to this. And we were able to pull mail files off of the backup. Now, Shadow Protect, a tip for those of you who didn't know this, if you want to read a Shadow Protect backup on a different system, just install the trial version of Shadow Protect. All you need is the Shadow Protect mount command available, and then you can mount any backup. So you don't need a full Shadow Protect license in order to read a Shadow Protect backup. Install the trial version of Shadow Protect, mounted the backup successfully, and were able to pull files off and anything that was needed. We were able to set the client up on a secondary system so he was up and running. Now we have the system back in our office and we're trying all of these things. Here's what it took to solve the problem. I had to perform a complete format and remove all the partitions of the drive. I booted with a Windows 7 system disk, did all of that formatting and removal of the partitions, created a brand new partition on this disk, and had to make sure and install Windows 7. Just did a quick Windows 7 install. I didn't do any updates. I didn't do it. I mean, just a bare bone Windows 7 install just to see that the drive can boot. And I did have to go into the BIOS and play with some options. Once this successfully booted, because this was the problem. There was boot problem with the partition on the drive that even Shadow Protect couldn't fix. So now, after I have the system booting, I go boot with the recovery image of Shadow Protect, that DVD, attach the backup, started a restore, pointed it to the partition I wanted it to restore. It said it's successful. After, of course, a long time, it finally, a couple hours, and it restored, but with the following warning that a check disk has to be run. Now, this is an SSD. It's very fast. So on reboot, power cycled the system. It asked that it wanted to do as an inconsistency. It needed to do a check disk. We said yes. And that actually only took a couple minutes. And it was very, very fast. So Uncle Al said, did it fit on a CD? No, it needed to be a DVD. The Shadow Protect recovery image needs to be burned to a bootable DVD. And it does that. You get the ISO and it just puts it right on. So now you got to have a boot. You got to have a DVD drive. Or you could make, and there's instructions, but I didn't feel like going through the steps. You could make a bootable USB. But I knew there was a DVD drive in this system. Once the check disk was done, it booted perfectly. Tested everything. Works. That was the recovery. But I wanted to tell the story so you understood that you had to have a bootable disk. I had to make sure that that boot, that first boot manager, the boot partition would work. And that was the issue here. And I couldn't get that repaired. There was a problem on the SSD with the partition that couldn't be repaired in the normal methods. So it had to be gutted. And then we were able to do the restore. But a successful story, because you have to have a backup, 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 backup. I say it over and over again, and you should chant that, and that should be your mantra for you and all of your clients, because you never know when you're going to get a rogue program, an update, a virus, ransomware, anything, hardware problem, and you got to have your data backed up. Let's talk about some software. And one of the programs that a client asked me for, a LAN-based messaging program. They had one, and I think they're out of business now, and there was some complications with it that he used to use for years. So we went searching and testing. We wanted an open-source LAN messaging software, and we found it and tested it here in my office on a few machines, and it works great. And it's called BeeBeep, B-E-E-B-E-E-P. This is a great little program if you want to have instant messaging within a LAN environment. I think it even works for WAN using their cloud, and it's all free. Check that out. Link will be in the show notes. You can go to SourceForge and look for BeeBeep. And little B for an icon when you install it. Good little program, cross-platform. Want to talk about Netflix. One of the things I was bothered by, that on an Android or any iOS device, you can download Netflix content for offline viewing. I'm like, well, what about the Windows user? So I went onto the browser and I was like, there's no way to download. So I had to figure out, you have to have the Microsoft Store app in Windows 10 for Netflix. So I'll have a link for the Netflix app, and it works perfectly. But I started wondering, where is that located? It's a very difficult place where it's located. And I don't like that it doesn't give you an option for where it's located. It's in C users, whatever the username is, app data, then local, then packages, then a long number dot Netflix, and another long number slash local state slash offline info slash downloads. And it's an unreadable file. So only the Netflix app could read it. And I believe there's an expiration date. So they have really locked it down that there's, I'm sure someone might have a utility or something, but it would be extremely difficult for you to share that or to move it to another device. But you got to be careful if you have limited space on C and you're downloading a lot of content, that's a place to go to start blowing to get space back. If you're downloading a lot of movies, you're going to chew up a lot of space. I just downloaded one episode. As a matter of fact, I tested it with the Blacklist and that was almost a gigabyte. You definitely want to be careful how much you're downloading and keep an eye on that for the size. So that's a second link, which is going to be stating that exact path for you to look at. Last link for the night. And I got to thank listener Steve for this. He found an app called Stop Resetting My Apps. Again, shame on Microsoft for us to have to worry about this. Microsoft keeps changing the defaults. It's horrible. They change your default browser again. They change and they want Edge to be the default PDF reader. Why? It's the worst program to read PDFs. We want Adobe Reader or we want the full Adobe Acrobat to be our default. We don't want Edge. So this little program, which is portable, it'll run very, very quickly. The minute you launch it, you get a screen that lists Microsoft Edge, Mail, Photos, Movies and TV, Groove Music, 3D Builder, and Notepad. You click it, and I'm sure they're adding a registry entry. You click it, and a hand with a little stop sign comes up on the icon. That means we are blocking Microsoft for changing that. You can test this. After you check a couple, close the app. Open it again, and you'll see the little hand with the stop. You know that that's being blocked. This is a small, great little program that allows you to at least put a level of Microsoft's attempts to change your defaults. I love it. And this is what we were looking for. This is one of the reasons I do this show. I love little utilities that I learn from all of you. Or maybe I find a little nugget and share it. And this is what the Mike Tech Show community is about. Steve heard our cries for the default apps changing and found this app and shared it. This is one of those apps. I've tested it on a few machines already, and I approve it. I hope it doesn't do anything so far. A couple days here, and I haven't had any issues with that. But now the ultimate test is, does Microsoft find a way around this? And we don't know until they try to change the defaults again. But I at least love the attempt and the simplicity of protecting our defaults from the big bad Microsoft changing it. I'll tell you, I'm tired of venting on Microsoft, but they really have to stop this. Why couldn't they have an F8? Why couldn't they have some kind of a key combination on boot to get into that recovery mode? Really? We got to stop three times and then the fourth time we're able to get in? And to maliciously change our defaults, this is wrong. This is wrong. It's going to keep us in business. It's going to keep us earning money. Those of us who are consultants and doing the work, but yeah, that's not how I want to earn it. I mean, but just makes us work harder to find solutions like this and to be able to share them. That's it for tonight. If you buy from Amazon or know anybody that buys from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you. It's amazon.micnation.net. That's it until July 6th. That's going to be the next live show. Everybody, have a great couple weeks. Please send me your questions. Send me your comments. MikeTechShow@gmail.com. Hope everybody's started and having a great summer so far. And we'll keep it going. And God willing, I'll be back and be doing the show with maybe some tech stories from Germany. Follow me on Facebook if you want to follow me on my travels. facebook.com/MikeTechShow. You will definitely be seeing pictures of my trip with my son, Ryan. Looking forward to it. That's it, everybody. Again, have a great couple weeks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.